Today's second scripture reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. If you'd like to follow in your pew Bibles, follow along in your pew Bibles, it's going to be on page 1168. So Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be starting in verse 1 through 3 and then jumping down to 8 through 16. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what it was visible. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they wouldn't have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, just think about the service, and I only got 10 minutes to give a message. Man, you guys are lucky. You don't have to listen to me that long. Man. All right, I got to do some rapid fire preaching here, but buckle up. Yeah. So as we look at this passage, it's one that we all know. It's very familiar, and we all have said, you know, we live by faith, we profess faith in Jesus. Have you ever stopped to really consider what that means? Have you really sat with God and prayed with God and understood what it means to have faith? Now, as I was reading through this, the very first line here has so much in it. I could probably spend all my time just on this first verse. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So, as I've been doing recently, I've been digging into some of these word studies and trying to better understand what God was saying to the original audience. And speaking of original audience, the book of Hebrews, you know, tradition has it as possibly Paul, maybe a combination of Luke and Paul writing together, but the audience seems those who are already in the faith, who are possibly teachers to the Jews who have professed faith in Jesus. So this message is perfect for the church, those who are following in Jesus Christ, but need that encouragement to continue on. So the author here uses an interesting word. He says, now faith is, and the Greek word is hypostasis. Now sometimes it can be translated, like the King James Version says, substance. The ESV version says assurance. The NIV, which I read, has confidence. When you dig deep into what hypostasis really is, at its foundation, it's that which stands under. So faith is that which stands under. Think about your house or this church and the foundation underneath. What happens if a building's foundation isn't solid? We all know it falls. It starts to crack. Things go bad. If your foundation is not firm, when the storms come, the building will not hold. And we all know the parable of, the wise man built his house on rock, and the foolish man built his house on sand. When the storms came, the one that's built on the rock stands firm. And that rock, of course, we know, is God. So faith is that which stands under us, that gives us the foundation to move forward. And as we look through this passage, the word used for assurance has a root meaning of evidence for or proof. So the faith is that which stands under us. It's what we, in what we hope for, the proof about what we do not see, the evidence for what we do not see. Now that's kind of an interesting thought when we think about evidence and proof. We are in a very blessed time, in that we have all of Scripture. We can go back into the Scriptures and read about Abraham. We can read about Isaac and Jacob. And further into the Old Testament, we see Moses and David, how they walked with the Lord, and how the Lord led them through different trials and tribulations and brought them out through God's faithfulness. We can read into the New Testament about Jesus Christ coming to save us from our sins, to redeem our souls. Further in the New Testament, we see the church growing. We see how Paul founded all these numerous churches on his missionary journeys. And we have Revelation that tells us about what is coming. We have so much evidence to believe. What about Abraham? Think about that. We live in a blessed time where we have so much information, so much confidence in God because what he has already done. But what about Abraham? There were no scriptures at that time. We read about Abraham in the early parts of Genesis. God called him, said, Abram, go to this other place, leave your home, and follow where I lead. What kind of faith did he have? What kind of lesson can we learn from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the people of the Old Testament, where they didn't have the fulfillment of all the promises? They received the promise. What did they have? They spoke with God Almighty, our Father in heaven. Think about that for your own lives. There's so many reasons to step out in faith and follow where God leads. But we don't need evidence. We need God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because when His presence, when we humbly step into his presence and fall on our faces before him, we know he is God, that he spoke the world into existence, that from his command, the wind and the waves would cease, as we saw with Jesus calling Peter out of the boat. And Peter walked on the water, not because of his power, not because of Peter's faith, but because of God's righteousness, because of God's power to enable Peter to get out of the boat, enable him to walk. It is only when Peter looked away from God, became distracted by the storm and the seas, that his faith wandered. He lost sight of who was in charge, who has the ultimate authority over everything. Because when we come before God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we feel his presence, his love, his compassion for us. That's all we need to walk forward. And this kind of speaks from my personal story. When I was in the early college years, looking for evidence, as some of you have heard in this story, about how I was trying to either prove or disprove whether God existed. And I went round and round with people and poked holes in theology and biblical stories, and I was searching for a reason to believe, the evidence to believe. God gave me something better. One night in my apartment alone, God gave me his presence. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was Lord. And I've tried to walk faithfully. I'm not putting myself up as an example of faith. No, please don't see that. Because I've stumbled, I've fallen, I've messed up. But knowing God's presence, feeling him with you, that gives you the faith to step out of the boat and to walk to Jesus when he says, come. Or when he points you in a direction and says, that's where I want you to go, and says, go, make disciples of all nations. Preach to them. Proclaim the kingdom of God. Can we be like Abraham? With absolutely no reason to walk out, go to a different country, follow God, except for God himself. You know, it's kind of funny. I wrote down all these different notes and stuff, and God just leads me in a different way, doesn't he? I went into some other word studies, but you know, when we look at this passage, it just shows us how God is faithful. How we don't have to have this, I don't know what to call it. It's not in our own power. It's not saying, I'm someone of this great faith, I'm going to follow God, because what happens when we do things in our own power? We can't do it. God gives us faith. How does he give us faith? Through his presence. How do we know his presence? Through the Holy Spirit. How do we have the Holy Spirit? Through Jesus Christ on the cross who died for us. Who redeemed us, reconciled us to God the Father. Which brings me back to the point that I've been stressing for I don't know how many weeks. Your vertical relationship is first and foremost. Before you can do anything horizontal, you must be connected to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. be in prayer, in scriptures, and step out of the boat when God calls. And many times in church life and ministry, there are hard days. But when God calls, we obey. When God says to go here, we say, yes, Lord. God says, go there, we say, yes, Lord. When God calls us out of our comfort zones, we say, yes, Lord. I will follow, I will go wherever you lead me, whatever you call me to. But first, you must be connected. You must be in prayer. You must be in the scriptures to even hear the Holy Spirit in your life. Sometimes we get complacent. How many of you have been a Christian for more than 20 years? We can get complacent. Think of a new Christian who has been going down his whole life and just, you know, hit rock bottom. Finally, God pulls him out and he's on fire for the Lord. He or she, whoever you may be thinking about, everyone's got a story. And they're just gung-ho about following God and telling people about Jesus. But what about when you go to a church and we've been in the Word and praying in the pews and we just get tired? The enthusiasm wanes. God, I've been praying for years. When are we going to do this? God, I've been telling people about you, but no one believes. You just get tired. And the fire starts to go low. How do we come back? How do we reignite? Interesting thing about a campfire. Have you ever been sitting around? The fire goes down and down, just sitting there watching it. But you got that red coal at the bottom. What do you need to do? Put a little more wood, and then you blow on it. And what happens? Poof! You get a roaring campfire. Take that analogy to your own life. Let's put some wood on the fire. Let's dive into the Word. Get the fuel. And pray for the Holy Spirit who comes in like a wind. Poof. We get a roaring bonfire. Can we reignite this church? We've got a lot of faith here. I spoke with a lot of you about your walk, and there is faith, there is trust, and there is the hot coals ready to burst into this church. Burst into a holy fire to follow God wherever He leads. First, you must reconnect with Him. You must work on your daily lives. Be in the Word, be in prayer, and follow the Holy Spirit where He leads, so that when He calls, you say, yes, Lord. I will follow. I'll do what you want. I will live the life that you have told us to live. Can we say, yes, Lord? This one, it's okay. Let's say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. You hear that, Lord? We are ready to walk with you. Show us the way. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are ready to walk where you lead. We are ready to follow, even though we don't know where we're going. Lord, give us the faith of Abraham. Give us the faith of all those you have shown us in Scripture who were ready to jump out of the boat just because you said, come. Lord, send us the Holy Spirit to erase our fears, erase our doubts, to give us the boldness like the disciples at Pentecost. Lord, reignite our fire that we may boldly proclaim the kingdom of God is near. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.